Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guests this morning, and I have two gentlemen here in the studio with me, Jared Lawrenson with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission and Chris Lemke with Nebraska Public Power District, which seems maybe like an odd combination, but just looking at them, yeah, they're odd. Anyway, we're going to be talking this morning about a project out at the Lake Maloney Inlet, which is going to benefit anybody that loves to fish and angling in any form and fashion will do that. How are you guys this morning?
Hi, Rick. I'm doing well.
So far, so good.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful day.
Let's talk about all the access work out there at Lake Maloney Inlet. First of all, where did the idea come from?
Well, it seems like it's kind of a culmination of things, really. 20 years ago, things were identified out there, and that was the reasoning for that Harkrader Pond.
Right.
It was identified that it was too dangerous to fish the inlet for kids and people that needed access.
True, it was. Amenities. That was fast, deep water
so,
there.
Kind of feel like that was the beginning. We had a failure mixed in there. It took 20 years, but here it is.
Yeah, Harkrader Pond, the pond part never really materialized.
No.
It was just too porous a soil. Is that what it was? And leaked out?
Yeah, they put a liner in there, but it just, the well and everything else to keep that full was very expensive, and it was tough to keep that going.
It was a great idea, though.
Yeah, it was a great idea. It's just
right after they got it full, I was talking with Game and Parks there, and I got permission to put my scuba gear on and dive and look at some of the structure that was put in that lake. And it looked like that would be great. And in the process, I brought my number two son with me, who I had gotten certified as a scuba diver. Anyway, we got out, we're loading our gear, and I said, "Where's your mask?" "I don't know." Well, he had dropped it when we got back to the surface and was getting gear arranged. So I put my stuff back on, went out, dove on it, went down. Sure enough, found it. It was laying lens down, and there was already a couple little bluegill looking to make a home in there in about 30 minutes. So yeah. It was a great idea. Let's just put it that way. So what all's going on now?
Well, and kind of harkening back to that first question, about 10 years ago, we had a project downstream at a lake, and it went off to a great success. So we wanted to do some things halfway similar. Just getting the anglers down to the water's edge is the main objective, and the All sidewalk right. is really going to do that. And we also have a wooden fishing pier, as many people can see, already built.
Yeah, that was one of the first things you could notice when you're coming in, is right there at the inlet, the south side of the inlet, there used to just be slabs of rock out there to stand on, and you could do it, but then they'd get wet and slimy and, like you said, dangerous, particularly for kids. And now you've got a fishing pier out there very similar to what was built at Iron Horse Lake.
Yeah.
And gorgeous. Man, that's going to be great. What's the dimensions on that one?
What is it, about 12 by 24 on that one, I believe? Somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's
just glancing
close.
At it, that would be a good guess I'd give. Why was Lake Maloney chosen for this, just based upon what you had from the last 20 years?
Well, you know, we had that great success downstream, and it has a similar setup with an inlet at Lake Maloney, and it seemed like a real good place. A lot of fishing activity, and it is also an SRA, state recreation area.
Right.
So it deserves some amenities.
Now, none of that stuff is cheap. So where does the money come from this? And I know it's basically through the Game and Parks and how you've set that up. When I go buy my fishing license, there's some money that trickles off into there. So
yeah.
How does all that work?
Well, I wish I knew a little bit better myself, but the aquatic habitat stamp is built into that. Now, I don't know, at some point in time, years ago, you had to have a physical stamp.
Right.
That's already built in nowadays.
Right.
But that's where it comes from, and it's a nominal little bit of a fee that tax on there, and then it's commingled with other entities for these big projects.
And it amasses some pretty good funds. That's what made Iron Horse Lake pay for that. So a little bit of what we're paying out in our license fees, we can see what's culminant and what comes from that. That's great.
And approximately, I think it was 2012, the legislature allowed us to spend some of that money on angler access strictly. So that's what really allows projects like this. Sometimes we have to have some actual habitat involved, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
And then, Chris, from MPPD's side, how did we get involved in that?
Well, the lake itself is owned by MPPD as part of the Southern Project,
right.
And that project was constructed in the 1930s as a part of the WPA to get a lot of these workers back in the jobs and everything else. So as part of that, a hydro was put in, and because of that, the hydro brought in a regulatory commission.
Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
And part of that, to have a license, you need to look at all the aspects, and one is recreation. So, yes, we've been working with Game and Parks since the beginning of that, for the parks and for the fisheries and all that to happen. So, that's a component in our license, is to have a recreation component.
And this is going to work out well. Like I said, if people haven't been out there and looked at it and looked at some of the work going on, it's going to be amazing when it's done. Let's talk about the improvements. We touched on the fishing pier right at the inlet, but what else is being done?
Well, I think it's approximately 170 yards of a sidewalk essentially going in on that south shoreline. And that's the crutch of the project, really. And it's really starting to look like something now. There for a little bit, I'm not an engineer like Chris. I had to look at it and oh, yeah, this is okay. I had to get my mind right about it. But
just looked like a bunch of dirt being moved.
Yeah, it's going to be great when it gets done, right? We also, it was kind of an offhand thought. We put some 3/4-inch rock in. Hopefully we'll be able to attract a little bit more. Anyhow, more attraction for fish to get up there.
Is that that's the spawning beds that I saw out there? Okay.
We throw around the word spawning shoals. We also put some shoals in off of that sidewalk. There's 5 of them that are large riprap, broken concrete. And hopefully that'll create some eddy, some breaks from the flow, and also attract some fish in close to that sidewalk. And anglers can see them right now, but they'll also be marked well.
I was talking with Chris one day, and he was saying that on the sidewalk area, the back wall, I guess I'd call it, of the sidewalk, there's going to be like a fish marker.
Yeah.
And if you know what to look at, straight out from that is where some of that riprap and stuff is, which will be submerged by that time.
That's
But it'll
correct.
Give you an idea where it is. That's very cool.
Yeah, and it almost seems like it might be working already to some extent.
Every time you go out there, there's fish just... They're just right around that rock pile. That will be 5 foot below surface, that rock pile. So yes, you won't see it from the curb, but you will be able to know that it's there. But yeah, those fish are just honking around that place. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, now, you can see it right now, but here in a couple of weeks you won't be able to, most likely. When the water comes.
Looking at some of the plans, the sidewalk will be there, and then did you have to drive some sheet piling or stuff? Because a lot of that riprap that used to be there is gone, and you're a lot lower, a lot closer to the water level.
Right, and my plan at that point, using Jared's information, the concepts that he wanted, you have to put an elevation at what this concrete walk is going to be. Mm-hmm. So I put it roughly a foot above the normal pool elevation. So from where you're standing to where that water level is just going to be a foot difference between the two. So you'd be pretty close to the water when you get to that point.
And right up to it. I mean,
right up to the water, yeah.
Before, what we had was you had to reach across 4 or 5 foot of riprap and you're several feet in elevation difference.
Exactly.
This is going to be much easier.
To do that, we had to lower the lake, because we had to get down deep to put in a foundation and a it's not like sheet pile wall, but it's a concrete wall.
Okay.
Retaining wall, and that is what the upper part of that curb is, the top of that retaining wall. So when Jared was talking about all that dirt being moved, that was the part that was putting in that stuff that you can't see. It's way below. But yeah, it's right next to the water. The riprap is there. You have to put the structure in there. It's not going to want to move. And that's what the whole thing is. It's there. It's going to be solid, and it's not going to move. I'll tell you that.
Now, I'm assuming part of all this was ADA compliance and stuff for fish access. How did that all play into it?
Well, yes, that's correct. There is a lot of ADA compliance, and we'll have some stairs and ramps going down to that sidewalk. And also, there'll be a trail built to that wooden fishing pier that will allow easy access for anybody that wants it.
Got new lighting and stuff out there with all this for those of us that like to fish at night?
There's two subcontractors. One of them's building the retaining wall that'll be behind that sidewalk. The other subcontractor is doing the electrical work. Yeah.
Okay.
There'll be some lights, that's for sure. And one thing I really like about this project is there'll be a lot of options. There'll be, if you want some access, some amenities, and you need it, some ADA, it'll be there. If you don't, there's options that way too.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, there's some benches down in the, so I mean,
it's
a really, it'll be a really nice area to where you can congregate and just enjoy the area, because you can sit and relax, you can fish, you can bring your kids down there, which is going to be nice because you talk about safety. Mm-hmm. And they can fish, and it's a good level spot to where they can have access and be safe.
How wide is this sidewalk from the water's edge back to the retaining wall?
The minimum width is 5 foot, but in the spots where we put these rock shoals, there's a little bump out, about 2 foot.
Okay.
So you can actually put a bench or bring your chair, sit there, and fish there, and still have that 5 foot walk behind you so that nobody's
plenty enough room for people to get
right
around, especially if somebody's
right
wheelchair bound.
Absolutely.
Like that. Great. We ready to take a break, Jack? Okay, let's do that, and we'll do a couple commercials and be back and finish up this discussion. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking this morning with Jared Lorenzen with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission and Chris Lemke with Nebraska Public Power District about the improvements that are going in at the Lake Maloney Inlet. We talked a little bit before we went to break about, you know, some of the ADA things that were put in, and you guys have worked into the design. And that leads me to a question to you, Chris. You're kind of the lead engineer on this one. How'd you manage to pull that off?
the work that I do now with Nebraska Public Power District is with the FERC in the licensing and being more or less in charge of how that, all the stuff, that the activity that happens up at the lake. And Jared approached me, I'm going to say in 2022, with this idea and this project. And so we met out there and we talked about this project. In fact, Jared gave us a proposal, and this is what we're planning on doing.
That looks familiar.
Yeah. So I said, you know what? This looks a lot like Johnson Lake, which I'm very familiar with. Because when I was working for the Nebraska Game Commission, I was also the engineer there. So this is one of the projects that I was well aware of back at Johnson Lake. And I said, I know exactly what you're doing. And I said, perhaps we could, as an agency, or as our MPPD, be a partner in this project and provide design services. So I went through all the different layers of people at MPPD, and they said, by gosh, yeah, that'd be a good partnership, and let's do it. So that's how we got involved.
Very good. Like I said, if you haven't been out there and looked at this recently, you'll notice, you know, a tremendous amount of work going on. If you have any ability to look, you know, beyond what it is now and see what engineering has been involved and what's going to happen, this is going to be just a tremendous boom for that area again. It's going to be you know, fishing access and public access was the goal, and I think you guys have nailed it.
You know, it's like any other project. When you do construction, it's not fun. You know, the construction side of it is messy. It's, again, we had to lower the lake, and I know a lot of people were not happy about lowering the lake, and we had to lower the lake for other reasons, too. So it's not just for this project, but the opportunity came when I was talking to Jared. I said, Jared, if we're going to do this project, this would be a perfect time to do it because the lake is going to be low. And we can do the work that needs to be done and then bring it back up. But once it's done, I'll agree. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful asset to that area.
So when are we going to have our inaugural fishing trip and sit out there and fish some evening?
Well, it kind of sounds like the majority of the work is going to be done by the year's end. There's going to be a couple of things that they're still on the schedule, going to be working on probably in January and through February. But yeah, we might have to go ice fishing or winter fishing. Not ice fishing, right? But
I'd worry about ice fishing there because of the flow underneath.
That's not the best.
I've punched through the ice a couple times.
Yeah,
and
you'd get
not
to go
the,
first, I think. Yeah,
that's not the textbook way of having fun.
No, it might be pretty decent winter fishing. You never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, some things that were tossed around earlier was they got to do some seeding, and that might get put off until, you know, the ground's not frozen anymore. But there might be some finishing up things in January, like the stairs and some railings, and they might be making the ADA parking pad. And then in February, they might be putting a few wooden bollards, some posts in, and some sealing some joints, and maybe a little seeding. But
okay.
The schedule is the end of February.
That's the aesthetic part. The main stuff is done, so now you're...
Yeah, just cleaning up and finishing up.
Very good. Very good. So now that you've done this, and we know it's going to be good, what's the next project?
Right. Well, we've recently been pressed a little bit from our aquatic habitat manager to make a list, and you should have him in sometime to talk about it. But the commission is making a third list
of
places we might do projects.
Okay. Who's the aquatic habitat manager?
Jeff Jackson is nowadays.
I know the name. I don't think I've ever met him. But, yeah, I can get in touch with him on that. That could make a good show.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a... And as far as I know on this list, you have to be on this list to receive the funding. Is that correct?
It kind of seems that way, yeah. They're always trying to, lately, get some language out of those documents to free us up a little bit, but those documents are really important. If you're not on there, it's really tough.
Okay.
So you got to look into the future, look into the crystal ball, and see what you can imagine happening.
Everybody's got a crystal ball they got to look at. So going way back, when did you become interested in fish in general and know that this may be the track you were going to end up on, Jared?
Oh, I don't know. Probably about 30 years ago, I suppose. I didn't make the baseball team, and so I just went fishing every day.
Well, it worked out.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
When did you start fishing, Chris?
Oh, man. Ever since I was a kid, you know, Dad took me fishing, and I did live in a bigger city at the time when I was a kid, but Dad made a point to make the trip, whether it's going out in the ocean, you know, and doing an ocean trip or going up into the mountains and doing some trout fishing or wherever it was, he made the effort to get us out fishing, and I just fell in love with it.
One of my earliest memories is I was probably 3.5, 4 years old. I was out with my dad and one of my uncles, and it was a piece of property that my uncle owned. Back in South Carolina, and just a small pond, and I saw fish moving around in there, and commented on it, and my uncle said, do you want to catch one? I said, yeah. So somewhere they came up with a fishing pole, and I remember my uncle turning his pants pocket inside out and just taking the lint that was at the bottom of the pocket and wrapping it on the hook, and I tossed it in there, and I caught a little, you know, back there they call them brim, but, you know, caught some bluegill, and I've chased fish ever since.
Yeah, it's fun.
like I said, I'm, you know, now I'm into more of the, I don't know what you would call it, advanced level of fishing, where I'm not going just to fish in general, but I'll target fish, and I'm going for specific species or whatever, which is fun. And then trying to go off exotic and maybe catch some other big ones like.
Well, yeah. And I do believe, I mean, there are plans to have like a family fishing night probably in that area down the road, I think, just to. And,
oh,
and,
yeah.
And
I can see this being a natural for getting the community fishing program right. That the Game and Parks has connected with this. That'd be a natural fit.
Larry, yeah, that's Pape something.
Be out here.
That's something we'll have to discuss a little bit more. But, yeah, I'm sure we'll have some some dates and schedules for things like that in the
right.
future. Got to start thinking spring, I guess.
Yeah, it will be here before we know it.
Yeah.
What else can we think? Can we talk about here, Chris? What else you got? Can I see your plans there for a second?
Sure. Oh, we've been.
That was Johnson, right?
Right. No, that's. Yes, that is. No, that's ours.
There it yes. is. Yeah, I'm looking at it upside down. Here, there's our inlet.
These are the actual plans if you wanted to look at them, but yeah, no, that's there's a Johnson Lake has a similar system, and we have kind of a system, not really. It's an older one at Sutherland. That it's off the campground. There's like a walk that kind of goes down. That is rather old, but
yeah.
You know, generally the same concept back in the day. I don't know when that was put in, but it gave accessibility down to the shoreline at that point. So, and things like that don't last forever. It's like anything else on
right.
our system. I mean, our system is, when I say our system, I'm talking about the Southern Project. It's going to be 90 years old next year.
Yeah.
And things do need to be repaired and fixed, and nothing, it just doesn't stay forever. I mean, it takes work to keep the stuff going. So.
A project like that, I'll refer to it, and I'll tell people that we're beyond the making sure the air in the tires is right and checking the oil
right.
type thing. We're
right.
we're now into doing some real maintenance on things.
But I am impressed with how Game and Parks, and especially Jared here with his habitat improvements and fisheries, management have done so much with the habitat side of it that they have been able to provide such a good resource of fishing in the lake. And I've mentioned to you a couple times, especially ice fishing. It's just unbelievable.
Great.
I think it's been a good program.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming in this morning. And maybe we can touch base again in the spring and see where we're at and how things have progressed. So.
Thanks for having us, Rick.
Yes, you thank bet. You.
That's it for this week, folks. See you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.